The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, send her an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, making everything grow beautifully, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone to Down the Garden Path, and thank you for joining us this evening. I'm really looking forward to having you on as listeners all over listening to me tonight. And as usual, my goal for the show each and every week is to provide down-to-earth practical advice for your garden, your plants, and all things landscaping. And of course, my favorite topic of landscape design, with, I have to say, that even though the season is, you know, by many people's opinion, kind of winding down, I have more designs than I know what to do with right now. So that's a good problem to have. So not complaining. In fact, Gary, on my way here, I stopped at a customer's house and helped her pick her brick colors and her which border was going to go with her brick
nice.
For her patio. And
yeah.
We put the last, I found out the last few plants she wants me to order. And so, so it was a productive drive over. So lots of exciting things happening in people's gardens. It's been very good.
For a landscape designer as yourself, it's unless you really are in the mid of winter with the snow, you're still working because you're still online.
Yeah.
You're looking at things, products, this, that, and everything else, right? So it never
Definitely.
Ends, really.
No, for sure. And networking. And there's always something to do, just even as being your own self-employed and your own homeowner.
Yes.
Business owner. There's always something to work on. So I'm really excited. So this topic tonight is connected. I think it's going to be great for our listeners, but I feel selfish because I think it's been a great find for me. Because one of my challenges as a landscape designer is I take, and a gardener and a plant lover, I take tons of photos. I walk the dog every morning and I'm taking pictures of something. My neighbors think I'm crazy because I'm always out photographing my garden at different times of the year. But organizing those photos, join me, everyone. It is a challenge keeping track and finding that one photo that you want to show or you want to post or that you want to look at again. Photos can be a big challenge, especially now that we can take them so quickly and so instantaneously with our phones. So I learned about this website called plantsmap.com, and I'm so excited to have my guest this evening is Tracy Blevins, and she is currently living in Virginia, and she's the co-founder of plantsmap.com. And
she has the greatest accent.
I know
too.
She does.
I
she has a very good accent. She'll be on shortly. So she is an avid gardener since 1999, which is about the same time as I was writing down that date. I'm like, that's about when I started too. Plant collector, volunteer, master gardener from Southern Illinois, Alabama, Rochester, New York, and now Virginia. And I'm sure she might have made a few stops.
You're
from Rochester. And I was telling her today that's where my son Matthew's going to school there in a couple of weeks.
He's
leaving
great.
For there too. So I'd like to welcome Tracy on the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'll try to use my best Rochester accent, eh?
That's great. Well, welcome to the show. And I'm serious. I know I was excited when we talked earlier today that I think this is a great find for our listeners, but I feel like, okay, I want it to all be about me. So I'll probably really try to make sure I'm asking questions that our listeners would want to know about the website. So bear with me. And so let's start, Tracy, for our listeners who've never heard of it. Why don't you tell us the basic concept of PlantsMap?
Well, basically, we host plant collections. And we started out having kind of a difficult time explaining what we do because there's so many different ways that you can use the website. There's a lot of different use cases. But basically, why people are gravitating to our website is because they want to archive and document their garden.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do that through photos. They want to do that through their own custom notes and through their own documentation instead of, you know, using plants that here's the detail of the plants. I'm going to check these plants. I have these. You actually make the plant journal yourself. And it's in a social network, so you can see what other people have in their plant collections and learn vicariously through other gardeners and people growing other plants. And it's meant to be very diverse. It's not just for cultivated gardens. It can be for people who are big tree hunters, who are into wildflowers, who are into houseplants. It's for any kind of plant documentation that you want to do. And it's being used by both people who are private gardeners, personal gardening, or public horticulture too, botanical gardens, community gardens, et cetera.
Excellent.
And businesses too are starting. We just now started getting some businesses to use it to catalog their plants for their customers.
Okay. All right. Like nurseries?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that being, you know, certainly for the smaller nurseries that don't have any type of official inventory system.
Right. Right. And so we found out that there's a need for this out there. I was trying to develop something for myself, and it turns out that there's a lot of different use cases of people who want to make an online mobile diary of their plants.
Right. And I think that's wonderful that really you started as researching this as for your own self as a plant collector, as a need that you needed and to solve. And as I've not been able to solve it myself, either.
Right.
Honestly, I've tried many different things. Sometimes I just still even refer to, like, I've got my cutout pictures in my little portfolio book where I bring my book and I hand my book to my customers. And I put a lot of work into those books. So I have to say, I think my book is pretty good. But there's always a plant that I don't have, or I think, I took a picture of that last week and, where is that picture, you know?
And, you know, you're a landscape designer, so you do that. You know, I would expect that you would have that. But I've talked to a lot of people who are just general homeowners, and they say, I start telling them about what we do, and they go, hold on. And they go run to another room and come back, and they bring back something. They bring back a shoebox.
Uh-huh.
They bring back a cup full of tags, or they bring back their junk drawer from the garage.
Yes.
Or they bring back a photo album that they've been using, or binders, or journals, or whatever.
Yeah.
And these are average folks who are not necessarily, you know, into horticulture or into landscape design or into have massive gardens or plant collecting. They just want to keep information about their plants somewhere.
Right.
So.
And I don't know if, and I think that's really key too. And I don't know if in your area, if this is the case, but in near where we are in the GTA, a lot of nurseries offer a guarantee on the plants.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of customers really do keep that information because they want to get, you know, I'm kind of not necessarily think it's a good thing that they do this, but, which is a kind of a whole aside, but they offer, you know, a replacement. And so customers really are religious about saving their receipts because of that. And but then they don't. It's funny, too, because I've worked on the nursery side of it where they literally come in with the plant and they come in with a receipt and they go, I don't know what it was, but it died.
Oh my.
And here's my receipt, you know. And so definitely, I think being able to, you know, put some notes, maybe not have to keep the plant tag, you know, put that information in in PlantsMap.
Right. Exactly. And you can put information in your notes or in your reference links about, you know, where you bought the plant. And you can, the notes on the plant forms actually can be public or private. So you can, if you don't want everybody to know where you bought your plants from, you can private and make notes in your private notes about it. Or if you want to make a reference link on your plant and say, yeah, I got it from this nursery. This is my favorite nursery. Or one of the other ideas is that you can network with organizations on Plants Map. So if you wanted to, if you were a really fan of one of your local garden centers and you wanted to be in their network, and you can get updates from them, then you would join their network on Plants Map.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's plantsmap.com, obviously, right?
Right.
And
yeah, plantsmap.com. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And you basically, like most websites these days, you kind of have to sign up. So you put in your email and your password and kind of set up your, that's the first step?
Well, actually, the content of the website, which is actually all provided by the community, the users of Plants Map, is actually in front of the wall. So what we mean by that is if you go to plantsmap.com, looks like a sign-in page.
Yes.
But if you go to the Explore menu at the top.
Okay. I'm doing it right now as we talk.
You can, even if you're not a signed-in user, you can still find people on the website, and you can still find plants on the website and organizations and individuals on the website. And you can go to the map and find them by the map as well.
Okay.
So we wanted to put that content in front of the website because in front of the sign-in, because one of the purposes that I have for the website is I'm a very big advocate of public horticulture and supporting and volunteering and donating and becoming members of public horticulture, all sorts of different organizations that beautify our communities and have research, purposes like botanical gardens and community gardens and tree stewards and things like that.
Yes, yes.
So I wanted this to be a new forum for them to use to gain members and volunteers, donors and supporters. So I wanted it to be in front of the wall so that it's kind of there's a lot of ways you can say connecting people with plants and it has a lot of meaning.
Right.
One of them for me is I want people to connect with, volunteer organizations based on botanical interests. So if you're into trees, you'll find a tree group to be involved with. If you're in roses and things like that. So.
Okay. But it still can be by geography as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And then the sign-in is what allows you to make your own profile and then start to interact with people on the website.
Okay. And what is, now what if you don't want to interact? I mean, I know it's an interactive site, but let's say if you just want to use it, are there two different types of users? Do you see that?
We have seen, in the beginning, we didn't have the social features built, but from the very beginning, we had told everybody, this is going to be a social site. You're going to be able to interact with other people and follow other people and like other people's content of their plants. So that just comes with the package. So
great.
If you sign in, your plants are seen by others and people can like them.
Great.
You do have some other control settings that we will be building in as we add in more social features. So you can control if people add comments or not or different things like that. So,
and I think that it does work because I think gardeners by their very nature are pretty social and pretty, because gardening isn't a solitary, as much as you might be alone in your own garden, it's really about, looking at other people's gardens for inspiration, whether they be public or whether they be someone else in a hort society that you're joined with or at the nursery, your favorite, most people have like their favorite salesperson at the nursery, even not just their favorite nursery, but their favorite person who likes the same plants that they like, so I think gardening is really a very much a social network. And I know I know Bren as well from hashtag Garden Chat. We've had her on the show as well, and how that, even just by a hashtag, how much that has grown as far as being a community-based avenue for customers. So I definitely think I could see that being a benefit with Plants Map as well.
I think historically, I agree with you. They say that one of the first signs of an established community is that they have gardens.
Mm.
And so that means people have put down roots, right? So
yes.
We know that in society, a culture that has gardens, has a community.
Yeah.
And we also know that people like to document and they like to share their favorite things in a social environment online now, too. That, you know, people have this need now to socialize their favorite things and their hobbies and certain aspects of their life. And one of the things about PlantsMath is we've had a lot of people who say, you know, I don't really care for a Facebook, but I would do this because it's about something I love and I'm passionate about and I'm interested in, and I would like to share my hobby and my enthusiasm for growing plants, especially if I got a younger generation into growing plants.
Yes.
And so we have attracted quite a few people who really aren't in other social places but like the concept of PlantsMath as a social community.
Okay. No, and I think that's great. And I think the site is very intuitive and easy to navigate, which I think makes it, because not everybody who's a gardener is necessarily technically savvy.
Right.
Either, right?
Right.
You know, I think generation-wise, it's amazing, right? Because there's some kids that aren't as much, and there's some grandmothers that are like whizzes, right, when it comes to to navigating things on social media. So
right. I think you would be surprised. I mean, we have a very we're in the place where I want to be, which is where we have a very wide demographic.
Yes,
it's not heavily young, it's not heavily older, it's not heavily male or female. We're very nicely distributed, and that's how I would like to continue it to be. And we also do find that the concept of this is very appealing to people, and because they see it as crossing generations. Like,
right.
I love to garden, and I want to pass this on to my kids, or I want to pass this on to another generation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been motivating for people who would say, oh, you know, I don't really like to do stuff on this, you know, computer so much. But then they think about, well, actually, I would like to document my plants, and I would like, you know, to share what I know with other people. So it does kind of bridge that technophobia, I think.
Yes.
Bit, so.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think it's also not just about the sharing. There's that practical aspect of it.
Right.
Of where's that picture, you know, or you want to share, you know, you want to suggest, somebody asks you, what plant would you think would look good in this spot? You know, even friend to friend, and you're like, oh, I think this one would, and, you know, here's the picture of it, you know,
or the
information about it, as opposed to Google, you know, because I think sometimes that, and I'm always cautious, I've written some articles about, you know, my customers will sometimes Google, you know, I'll do the design and I'll leave the plant list, and then they either go to Google or they go to the nursery and read the tags, but neither information, the information they take, unfortunately, as gospel. But the information, either whether it comes from Google or if it comes from the tag, doesn't necessarily relate to our zone and our climate.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Whereas my knowledge, like I know I'm not going to put a tree, you know, I had this past season where I put in a shrub and they insisted they didn't want anything tall. They didn't want any trees. They wanted everything to be fairly low. And then they read about the certain shrub that I put in and it said that it got to 40 feet. And it's like, well, I wouldn't have done that. You know, of course it's not going to get to 40 feet, you know, but
mm-hmm.
I can't follow them to their nursery and tell them not to Google things. But I think this, you know, if the information with PlantsMath is because it's geography based and it's coming from gardeners, that, you know, if your plant in the same zone in the same area as mine, then, you know, chances are the growing habit and the growing conditions will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree? How's your experience with the Googling of things and plant tags? Oh, did we lose you? No. Tracy?
Tracy, you there?
Oh.
Well, I hear something on the other end, so I don't know. So I'll call her back.
Okay.
Thanks.
Do I do a commercial?
We can go into a commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll see if we can get Tracy back on
the
air.
Back on the line. Okay.
Tracy, you there? Okay, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. I thought I could hear paper turning.
Yeah, me too. So okay, we'll go into a commercial break.
Yeah, we'll be right back on Reality Radio 101.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Do you worry about your pet becoming bored at home alone or while you are at work? If you love your pets but don't have the time to walk and play with them, Corey Hamilton can help. Growing up with a never-ending passion for animals, Corey is up for any challenge to make your pet healthy, happy, and fun. With Corey's expertise, you'll never again have to worry about your pets being left home alone. Corey's company, Taking the Lead, will treat them like they are a part of our family. Animal enthusiast Corey Hamilton loves anything with fur, fins, and feathers. Combined with her degree in biochemistry, your pets are not just in for some fun and play, but their needs are being well understood. Skip the guilt and let your pets enjoy their lives while you are rest assured in yours. For more information, contact Corey at 905-697-2788. That's 905-697-2788. Or visit us at www.takingthelead.ca. Remember, happy pets make a happy home. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send Joanne an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now back to your host, Joanne.
Thank you very much, Gary, and welcome back to my guest, Tracy Blevins.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back. We lost you for a sec, but we got you back. So we were chatting about your software and your website. And
right.
We talked a bit about it from a homeowner's point of view. And
right.
I think there's lots of other reasons for homeowners to use it. And I'm on the site right now. So I hope our listeners, if you have any questions for Tracy, please do send us an email at realityradio101@yahoo.com. Or I do have my Twitter feed up here as well at JoanneShaw_D2E if you'd like to tweet a question. But the website is very, it really is a database.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping category, and one of the, it seems like a little thing, but actually the date that you took the photo, because sometimes, mm-hmm. You want to know what the plant looked like first year versus when it was 5 years old.
Right, and we just added the ability to caption the photos.
Okay.
So you can put a short caption on there. A lot of times I will use the date. Sometimes I'll put some other descriptive information or something like that.
Right. And do you find people using the botanical names or the common names, or is it just kind of a mix?
Well, we wanted the website to be open to, again, a lot of different users who were novice or weekend gardeners,
okay,
to more serious, mm-hmm, gardeners. So we use the term title so that if you don't know the exact name of the plant, you can temporarily title it, and, give it a description that you would know it by.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So it's not just for people who grow plants, but also it can be for people who just enjoy documenting plants that they experience by visiting other places and, mm-hmm, landscapes, or on their travels, wherever.
Right.
But there are forms where you can put in the specific botanical name, trade name, family, the taxonomy information, if you are into keeping that much information.
Okay.
So you can put in common name, botanical name. And that's the other thing. People title it differently depending on why they're documenting their plants. So a lot of homeowners would probably use common name.
Yes.
But a lot of botanical gardens, public gardens, and educational type of institutions want to use the botanical name.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you can use either that works for you.
Right, right. And the garden centers, like small businesses, can use both, because,
right,
often they might be ordering it in botanical but then selling it in common. And that's how I got to know. Actually, when I first started the nursery, we had to only use botanical names. So I had to learn, you had to learn them, because that's how they were put in alphabetical order by botanical. So it was good. So it forced me, as a new gardener at the time, to learn the botanical name.
And it is good to learn that, and I do encourage that. I am a master gardener, and when I very first started gardening, I very early on discovered things that I called snowball bushes,
mm-hmm,
were not what I thought were snowball bushes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking snowball bushes, my grandma's beautiful purple fluffy ball flowers in the summer, and then other people call snowball bushes the white flowers in the spring. Well, one's viburnum.
Yep.
And one's hydrangea.
Yep.
And even there are even more things that probably go by snowball or snowball bush or something.
Yes.
So that was like one of my very first early experiences. I was like, this isn't what I thought I was getting. I thought I was getting this blue flowering shrub.
Yeah.
In the summer, and it's this white flowering thing
in the spring. Yes. And they're really small.
Even before I became a master gardener, when I very first started saving my plant information and photos and tags, I made myself start organizing everything by the botanical names so that I would learn the botanical names, because then I learned the sort of a code to how the plants want to live, what their native habitat is, or what their characteristics are. And so if you start to learn the botanical names, it's a little tricky at first and hard to understand at first, and I still can't pronounce most of them.
Mm-hmm.
But
and most gardeners are pretty forgiving on how you pronounce them, so that's a good thing, too.
Right, right. But it has helped me learn how to grow those plants as well, because then you learn about the family that the plant is in and what habitat they like to be in and what soil they like to be in, and, where does that Cryptomeria japonica grow to be 80 feet? Well, probably not your landscape.
Right.
But in Japan, where it's native, it's going to grow 80 feet.
Yes, exactly. Like I was mentioning earlier, that the factor just to have an accurate information about your plant, that Google can be handy to a certain degree, but yet the information is so varied because of the geography. It really dictates how the plant will grow.
Right.
And so you can't just Google a plant, you know, without any context of where you're growing it, because you're going to be disappointed in the information you get. So I have that challenge with my customers.
It's intended to be a starting point for where you can put that information. And then for me, you know, I go and look at several different sites to get all the information that I want about that plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of aggregate that information into my profile about the plant. And I save, you have a section under owner's information where you can actually save reference links to those plant profiles.
Oh, I'm just saying that now.
A lot
of
times, I will save Virginia Tech information because I live in Virginia.
Yes.
And so I want to know the Virginia fact sheets about that tree or that plant or wildflower.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
that's a great tip.
That's one of the ways you can use it. We do plan to have a core database in the future, which will auto-populate some of the fields. But the idea really is that this is a customized plant diary for you to put your own information,
yes,
make changes and modifications based on the plants in your landscape.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've seen the tags that we make also, but we have had some garden centers and plant vendors who are trying out our tags, our metal tags that you can order to go with your plants to identify them in your landscape. They're selling them with some of their specialty plants because they make the profile about the plant.
Okay.
And then they can control that when the homeowner buys that plant, plants that tree, puts that stake, that tag in the ground with the plant, they can then go back to that garden center's profile about the plant.
Okay.
And get the information that came directly from that garden center.
Okay. Yeah, I did see that on the site. I was going to mention it later, but they look like they're beautiful, like they're metal. They look like they're really substantial tags.
Thank you. Yeah, my husband worked very hard on coming up with designing those because for years, were making my own variations of plant identification tags, and he didn't like anything that I made, so he wanted something much more higher quality, much more like arboretum, botanical garden quality. Couldn't find an easy way to source that and an expensive way to do it. And so his idea was, what if I just made an online list of my plants and I could make my tags from that list?
Ah, so that the two ideas kind of have merged.
And he's very technology savvy. He's an early adopter of everything. And so for him, the website had to work on his phone.
Okay.
So,
and that's big for me too. That was my next question for you is how, because that's where I am. I'm on the road. I want to be able to use my phone. That's where I take so many of my photos on my phone. And that's one of the things I hate is that I have to then email myself the photo and then send the photo to Facebook, you know.
Right. No, you don't have to do that anymore now.
Excellent. Excellent. So can you speak to that a little bit about how easy is it to use with our phone?
It's very, very easy. If you have already taken the photos on your phone, you already have a lot of them saved on your phone. We are a mobile website, so we're not an app. You don't have to go download an app. You don't have to have a specific iPhone or Samsung phone or anything like that. You just have to be able to have a device that gets to a website, a browser. So you can do the same things on your desktop, your laptop, your tablet, and your phone. So the website functions pretty much the same regardless of what device you're using.
Excellent.
Because you're doing it through plantsmap.com, a website.
Okay.
And so to add a plant, you only need one thing. And we try to place it everywhere on the website, add a plant, add a plant, add a plant, add new, add a plant. And it's a title. Save. You're done. And the four main parts that we have in the very beginning fields that you can add are the title, a photo, You can map the location of it.
Okay.
Which you can also make that public or private. So if you want to just map your own plants and nobody else sees them, you will see them, but they won't be added to our community map.
Okay.
So you can map your own garden, or you can add maps to the community map, or you can add plants to the community map. And then the story, and you can be very short,
mm-hmm.
you know, just a quick phrase, or you can put in the basic information if you don't want to fill out the fields, and hit save and you're done.
Excellent. Okay.
And then the photos tab on the plant form, you can add multiple photos too. So you can take a picture, add another photo. Take a picture, add another photo.
Okay.
So it's rather quite addictive.
Yes.
So
I'm going to be out in my garden more now taking photos.
Once you get your plants in, the really fun part then is just adding to the story of the plant, because you can keep adding photos. And what I really like about it now is how easily I can add different seasonal aspects to the plant. So,
yeah.
Like I have a stewardia, and I can add the buds, you know, the flowers, the winter, how it looks in the winter, fall, spring. And then I can also document other things, like, what is this bug on here? And then I figure out.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah, that's that part there is huge, because I have, you know, I have them categorized by, you know, like spring, summer and winter pictures, but they're not connected. Mm-hmm. Like I have to, you know, if I'm looking for my, you know, flowering dogwood or my dogwood in the, you know, what it looks like in the summer. And then I have to go find the winter photos to go through all my winter photos to find what it looks like in the winter. Or,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Pyramidal oak, like I try to explain to homeowners, you know, they retain their leaves and they still offer, you know, a bit of screening. And where's that photo of it in the winter, you know?
Right. So I think on my profile, one of the most documented plants I have is a Franklin tree.
Okay.
And I think I've taken pictures of that tree from the time I got it as a 12-inch stick to, it's like a 6-foot multi-branched tree now. If you call a 6-foot tree, they're smallish trees anyway.
Yeah.
But another fun aspect of it is we have another tree in the front yard that is a dawn redwood that we got again from, it was a little bare root seedling.
Mm-hmm.
We planted it, and it started becoming the tree that we would take people's pictures with when they would visit.
Okay.
So now you see this dawn redwood in our front yard. And there's different stages of growth of it and different people standing next to it. And
that's
fun
neat.
To look back on, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that is great. And one of the other things we talked earlier this afternoon were homeowners that are gardeners that sell their home and they leave their or they leave behind their garden that you know, we were both saying how that would be, we both have customers or people that we know in that position where they want to leave that information for the new homeowner, but there's no easy way to do that. So that is another kind of still staying on the homeowner's benefit, but that's still another niche, I think.
Right. So we see it as being helpful to those of us who feel like we're leaving our friends behind when we sell a landscape. And it's like, oh, you know, all these plants that I love so much, I can't dig them all up and take them with me, right? So now you can, you know, preserve those gardens and plants. And like I used to help my mom with her garden in Illinois, so I started documenting her garden too, because that was, you know, just a nice way for me to have memories of, you know, spending time with my mom working in her garden and remembering her by certain plants.
Okay.
And so for the new homeowners who, you know, I'm a master gardener, and we frequently get calls saying, we moved into this house and we don't know what these plants are. Can somebody come out and identify them?
Right.
So we think it has a nice way of bridging that information between the old owner and the new owner.
Yeah.
Where you can, you know, export the plants and send them the export list, and they can import and make a new plant profile and start a new plant profile. On plants and map with their plants.
Okay. That is wonderful. So yeah, there's definitely lots of uses for the homeowner. I did want to speak about the different organizations where how I think other organizations can use the software, the website as well. But let's pause for a commercial break, and we can talk more about that when we get back. All right, Tracy, stand by, and thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. We will be right back.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. And now, right back to Joanne.
Thank you, Gary. And please welcome back to my guest, Tracy, with co-founder of PlantsMap.com. We are talking about this website that I think has some really great benefits to homeowners, but also I could see it being used with other organizations in the horticultural industry as well. Tracy, did you want to speak to some of those?
Sure. Actually, the very first profile that we started on PlantsMap actually was a local community arboretum that was started by the Virginia Cooperative Extension Master Gardeners in the Stafford County, out of the Stafford County Cooperative Extension Office. And I was one of the volunteers that helped with that arboretum, and I knew the extension agent that had started it. And I said, can we use the plant material list from this arboretum for this idea that we have?
Oh.
And he's like, sure, this sounds like a cool idea, because he wanted a map of his arboretum, mm-hmm. and he wanted tags. He'd not been able to come up with a tag solution for his arboretum that he liked and that he could afford. And so he's like, sounds like a great idea. So Causey Botanical Park Arboretum is the first profile we put up. And that was the profile that we used at our Startup Weekend competition. And people actually donated the tags to the arboretum from that competition. And so one of my main purposes is to take these small community parks and these small community arboretums and these tree steward programs mm-hmm. and these community gardens, kitchen gardens, and have some place where they can network with each other network with their members and volunteers and grow more members
and
volunteers.
Yep.
So that's one of our, you know, one of my main purposes of the website is to help promote a way to find those organizations to become involved with, because there are a lot of people who are moved by being involved with growing plants, environmental issues, and want to contribute in a community garden. They just don't have the means to do it because of various circumstances.
Right, right.
Or they actually just prefer and enjoy to do it in a group.
Yes.
So that's one of the things that we want to do differently than other social websites. I don't want you to just connect on the website. We're hoping that this will help people connect in a real world sense too.
Right.
Where they actually go and join more garden clubs, more plant societies, more botanical gardens, and go to more local plant vendors and more local garden centers.
No, I think that's great. And I think sometimes when you have those little kind of grassroots, small, you know, organizations, they kind of feel like they're all alone in the world, right? And they're struggling to figure things out. So it's good for them to know that there's, you know, other organizations like them, and why reinvent the wheel? Like, let's learn from them and let's try to do it differently. I know I'm involved with the Pickering Horticultural Society, and we recently helped them do our website. We'd had a very outdated website that no one knew, and no one who was a member anymore knew how to update. So it was kind of all, So, you know, so we kind of, it was nice because it gave us an excuse. Then we went and looked at everybody else's website, and we kind of went through what we liked, what we didn't like, and really learned from other. And so it was kind of an interesting way, even though it wasn't necessarily garden related, but it was, it forced the members to go out and look at other organizations and see what they were doing and not doing compared to what we were doing. So it was kind of, you know, it's not relatable, but just it really forced us to kind of get out outside of our group and come up with something. So I think it had, you know, positive effect from that. And I think it was good for a lot of the members who had no idea that other groups were doing, you know, such and such. And so I think something like Plants Map, where you can learn what's in your area and what's going on, and what, and you, sometimes I think people don't realize that people do volunteer to, and that you can join them. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so that's kind of one of the ideas that we see with the tags too, that if you are a public landscape, and a lot of these public landscapes are not deeded, they're open, so people just kind of come through the park, or they come through the arboretum, or they see the community garden unattended, or you know, a variety of scenarios like that, where if they had a plant map profile and some signage about that, or they had the tags on each, you know, on the plants, then the idea is when they scan and learn about the plant, they also learn about the profile that that plant belongs to as well, and that they can follow them on Plants Map, or they can email it to themselves for more information, or, you know, engage with them beyond just visiting that landscape. So you kind of see it working multiple ways, that you can grow your audience from the website presence, or you can grow your audience from people visiting your landscape as well.
Okay.
And we had a landscape we actually had a lot of colleges and universities.
Okay, I was just going to ask about schools. Yeah, I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I was thinking even a lot of schools are doing, you know, outdoor gardens and that type of thing.
Right. So we've actually had a lot of interest from colleges and universities and some other private schools who have been documenting their plants or their landscapes. And one of them was several different entities at this one university were involved in putting in this native plant garden. And we got to be there for the ribbon cutting, and I got to meet the honoree of who the garden was named for, because he started actually an environmental program at this university. And I said, you know, I see every landscape as an opportunity to teach people. And that's part of what, you know, we're trying to do with Plants Map. And he's like, exactly. He's like, that's why we put in this native plant garden here, and why we, you know, wanted to be on your website and use your tag.
Oh, okay. So that is great. So it's going well. So it's, and now when did the website officially launch?
Well, it actually kind of, it actually came about at a startup competition in January 2014.
Okay.
And it was actually kind of a long time in the making. Like I said, I'd been using a lot of different means to document my plants and save my plant information and my photos and organize everything. And then the other needs of mapping your plants, tagging your plants, and having them be mobile. So we kind of had been thinking about how can we make a solution, and then it kind of all came together January 2014 when we launched a very rough, what they call an MVP version of your site.
Oh, okay.
I think it's minimally viable product.
Oh, gosh. MVP sounds way better.
So we had an MVP.
Yeah.
And people liked it, and we got a lot of instant interest from Twitter because we used Twitter during that event.
Yeah.
That's actually where people were coming from to donate the tags to that arboretum. And so we were kind of taken aback by the enthusiasm and people that were reaching out to us really liking the idea, and then all the different use cases that came along. You know, we've been wanting to do this for this reason or for this reason or for this purpose. And so we kind of stayed in that MVP mode for a while, and until we found a development team that could take it and really develop it into the next level with all these additional social features and functions.
Excellent.
So we're still in development.
Okay. So you're still in development, and you have
a new version.
Yeah.
The new version was launched in July.
Okay.
So it's really just been since July 2015 that it's really been live and functional as you see it now. And we're launching more new features every month, every week.
Okay.
So,
all right. In fact, you had a big announcement about what's going live tomorrow, or has that changed?
No, I think as far as I know, it should still be live tomorrow. One of the core components of what we wanted to have on the website was a news feed, a place where people could just post news and information. So right now, the only content that's been put up on the website is if you're adding plants or making a collection or making a photo gallery in a collection or adding an organization or something like that.
Okay.
So that was really the only content that was getting posted and updated to the site. But now with the news feed that we're going to have live tomorrow, it's going to be very much like a Twitter feed where it's just share some information. So it obviously needs to be of botanical subject matter.
Yes, yes. Not the weather or anything like that. Yeah.
Right. People tend to be very, very good about sticking to the rules on those forums and groups. So
good.
So if you have information from another website that you would want to share, like you do on Twitter, like here's this great story about a community kitchen garden and you wanted to share it on PlantSnap, you could share it now. In the
okay.
Right.
Great. So we can check that out tomorrow at plantsmap.com. Wonderful. Well, our time has just flown by, Tracy, and I really hope, because I know you're going to go through, like you said, new features every month. So I'm hoping, I would love to have you back in a couple of months, and we can, you know, even walk our listeners through more steps and more features that you want to discuss. But I think, you know, it's a different, I know you're definitely out there on social media as well, so people can look you up on your Facebook and Twitter as well, but sometimes it's nice to hear a voice and kind of, and you've got a great, I love that video too. You've got a great little video on YouTube. But
Thank you. And you can see snippets of our previous website in that video. We haven't redone the video with new screenshots yet. So the concept is still the same. The screenshots are not.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. And this episode is, of course, being recorded, and so it'll be up on my website. I'll have to send you the link. It'll be up on my blog on my website at downtoearth.ca. And so we can always have, if you've missed it or if you just caught part of it or if you want to listen to it again, then that's another thing to do. So just give me a couple days to get it up. So I wanted to thank you very much, Tracy, for being on the show tonight. And like I said, I really hope we can do it again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. You have a great night, okay?
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you very much for listening. I hope you
very nice.
Yeah, I hope you take this time to check it out. I know, as Tracy said, they're still in development, but I think it definitely is a good place to. I'm gonna start organizing my photos.
Sounds like you have quite a few.
I do have quite a few, but I just love the fact that I can do it on my computer, I can do it on my phone, I can do it on my iPad. And I can keep the information there for my customers. So I think it's going to be a really useful tool. So I'm interested to hear what everybody thinks. So drop me a line on Twitter or my Facebook page, or email me at joanne@downtoearth.ca with the number 2. But I wanted to thank everybody for listening today. And please join me next week, where I'm going to talk a bit about August in the garden and what we should be doing and shouldn't be doing. And otherwise, I'll see you down the garden path next week here on Reality Radio 101.
You've been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.